Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you for all that you mean to bring alive in us in Jesus' name. All that you mean to bring alive in us, O God, in His fullness by the Holy Spirit, Father. Father, you have defined this reality, O God, as a law of life, Father. Enable us to understand what this law of life means, Father. How it is, O God, we are to discover Christ Jesus. And how it is, O God, we are to give expression to Him, Father, by the Holy Spirit. Enable us to realize, O God, that this is the reality by which, O God, we receive your will and walk into your will, Father. We pray, O God, that you will enable us to enter this deep understanding, O God, of all that you have provided for us in your own name. Teach us your ways and let your ways be alive in us so that they will be ways of righteousness and truth, Father. Ways in which, O God, your glory will be seen in our lives, Father. Ways in which, O God, we can worship you, O God, in a lifestyle lived, O God, to bless your holy name. We pray for such a lifestyle to come alive in us, O God, with conviction, Father. To be written, O God, into our lives, O God, so that we will come forth, O God, as a people who proclaim the fullness of Him who will fill all in all, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Beloved. Holy Spirit, we commit this time into your hands, Lord, and we pray that you will write the word into all our hearts, that you will make it come alive in us, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Has set you free. It has been accomplished. We have only to receive. We have only to receive and walk into this reality. This is a reality that is described as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is a reality that will prove itself in your life and my life as we see the law of sin and death being broken in our lives. This law is defined as a law of life. A law of life. It is the purpose that God has for each one of us that we should live. Jesus came to us and he said that he is the life. The Holy Spirit is being described here as the Spirit of life. And the purpose of his ministry is to unveil Christ Jesus in us so that we can live the life that Jesus brought forth for us. And God calls this the law of life. The law of life. The purpose in which God ordained his law is so that all creation will live. The fundamental basis of all of God's laws is so that all creation will live. And in order to ensure that all creation will live, God manifested a reality in Christ Jesus to be brought alive through us by the Holy Spirit. This is a reality that is very important for us to understand. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. Let's read for context from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, him being the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, that is the Father's might, which he brought about in Christ, that is the Father brought about in Christ, when he raised him, Jesus Christ, from the dead and seated him, Jesus Christ, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, The Father put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet and gave him as head, that is Jesus as head, over all things to the church. Over all things to the church, which is his body, the body of Jesus Christ, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this is what we must understand. This is our calling, to realize the fullness of Christ and to express him into everything. It is Jesus Christ who must fill all in all. But Jesus Christ will fill all in all through his body. Now this is how life comes forth as God has ordained it. Life in perfection. Life that God wants to bring forth in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He wants to bring it forth in a living body. And he defines the life that this body will express as a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The body of Christ is called to function in this law. The body of Christ is meant to understand the treasures that God has unveiled in this law. It is not a law of the letter, but it's a law of the Spirit of God. It is a law defined in the Word of God. The Word was made flesh. Where is he made flesh? In his body. We are that body. The flesh of his flesh and the bones of his bones. Ephesians 5:30, King James Version. All right? Ephesians 5:30. His body, the fullness of him. His body. The body of his bones. Let's turn to that. I've forgotten that. Ephesians 5:30. Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If you have a King James Version, you will find that additional phrase, all right? Of his flesh and of his bones. Very important words, okay? Because we must understand that the body has to be defined. And the body is defined in his flesh and in his bones. The body is defined in his flesh, not anything else. Not what you and I can do in ourselves. What we can do in ourselves means absolutely nothing. It is of no value. Because the purpose God has is to fill all in all. And that can only be filled in the fullness of Christ Jesus. So it is very important that we understand that we are the flesh of his flesh and the bones of his bones. One body. Okay? So that is our purpose. And God has ordained us to realize the life that he wants to bring forth. The life that he has defined in Christ Jesus and the life that is to find expression in partnership with the Holy Spirit. I will say that again. Life that is defined in Christ Jesus in all of his fullness and life that is to be brought alive in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And that is what is life. That we live in Christ by the Holy Spirit. That we live by all that we realize in Christ Jesus. But this living is always in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Everything in Christ Jesus that we realize will enable us to live. Everything in Christ Jesus that comes alive in us will enable us to live. But we are enabled to live in partnership with the Holy Spirit so that we will never misuse something for our own ends. So God sent forth his Spirit to lead us into all things in Christ Jesus. And that's very important that we understand it. Because if we do not understand that, we will do things on our own and we will waste what God has given us. Worse still, we may lose what God has given us. So God sent forth the Holy Spirit to be with us forever. And the reason is so that the Holy Spirit will take of all that Christ has received in the Father. All that Christ has received in the Father, and we are charged with bringing it to life. We are charged to bringing it to life. It is our duty to give expression to Christ Jesus in all that we do, in word and in deed. Every Christian has that calling upon his life, to bring forth some measure of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our calling. That is our faith. That is our hope. That is our destiny. It is our destiny to express Christ Jesus in all that we do. Now, this is God's creative work. This is God's creative work. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." To walk into these good works in part is part and parcel of our life, the life that we are to discover, the life that we are to bring forth so that others will come alive to all that God can bring forth in them. How is this life defined? That's what we want to talk about. Life is defined in four realities. The first reality is the reality of faith, all right? Without faith, you can never live the way God wants you to live. Without faith, you can never live the way God wants you to live. But this faith begins with a hope that you set upon Him. It's very important to have that hope in Him, because faith is merely the substance of that hope. But the substance, as we have taught, is to be of Christ Jesus. Everything that we receive of Christ Jesus will form substance inside of us. In that substance, we have a confidence. All right? The substance is to be of His person and His nature. Remember the Greek word hypostasis that we talked about? Right? That hypostasis, that substance, is to become in us a confidence. Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 3, verse 14. "For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence firm until the end." Confidence is used in the New King James Version or the Old King James Version. And assurance is used in the New American Standard. Now, whatever it is, the Greek word is hypostasis. That hypostasis is the substance of your faith. That hypostasis is also the substance of the person and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So that is what gives you confidence, the confidence to walk in faith. So the faith that you have is a faith that God fashioned in Christ Jesus for you. It is the faith that God fashioned in Christ Jesus. It is that faith. Jesus came forth and He proclaimed something for us. And what we receive of Him will enable the substance to be of Him. And then we apply what we have received in all that we are called to do. And as we learn that, we are in fact created in His image. We are fashioned in His fullness. We are brought forth in Christ Jesus. So faith is very, very basic and very fundamental to how we grow in God. But faith has got no meaning without hope. The Word of God must always open that reality of hope. You must always have an increasing measure of hope in the Lord. A hope, because hope facilitates this creative process. If you close your eyes on hope, then nothing is going to happen, because faith is merely the substance of hope. So hope is very, very important, the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the Word of God, the purpose is to explain to you how great God is, what God is capable of doing, what God can bring forth in your life. That hope will describe your life. That hope becomes substance, and that substance will enable you to live. That substance will enable you to live. That substance will become the strength of your life. That substance will bring into your life the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ is, I am the truth. The truth. What does the truth do? The truth sets you free. So that freedom is called freedom from the law of sin and death. Can you catch it? So you are set free from the law of sin and death by Christ Jesus coming alive in you, of all that you receive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you can understand that simple thing, you will find that it is not difficult to grow in the Lord. You only have to receive. As you receive and you learn how to live by Him, you will be strengthened by Him. As you grow in that strength, you will find that it is easier and easier and easier to live by the Lord. And you will come to a point where you will not want to live on your own anymore. Because you will discover in your heart that it's a silly way to live. When do you realize that? When the evidence of Christ Jesus inside of you becomes so overwhelming that you don't want the things of the world. The desire for it begins to die. That's how the flesh starts dying. Right? That's how the flesh starts dying. When you really see the magnificence of Jesus Christ, that's when your fleshly ways start dying. Right? That's when you start throwing away those things that distract you from Christ Jesus, because the light and wonder of Him is so awesome, because He is wonderful. When the wonder of Jesus Christ opens to your heart, you don't want anything else. And once that wonder opens to you, why do you want the things of the world? Why do you want the crooked ways? Why do you want the dishonest ways? Why do you want ways that proclaim your excellence when you can have the excellence of Jesus Christ? Why do you want to walk in mediocrity when you can walk in the heavenly places? Right? Why do you want to walk with your small abilities and your small ego when you can walk in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus in everything that you do? See? It's that understanding that must come in. That understanding is laid forth by faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 tells us, by faith we understand. By faith we understand. The first four words. By faith we understand. Faith is substance, isn't it? Faith is described in substance. In that substance comes understanding. Right? Comes understanding. And that understanding enables you to live. Now, how does the Bible describe understanding? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. We have done all these verses again. No harm in going through it again. All right? Because these are realities that are alive in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. As we continuously lay them forth, they become described into us. And that's why we have this sort of a teaching session, to describe things in Christ Jesus, to bring them alive within each one of us, so that we can each walk into it. As I teach, God is also teaching me. God is also putting the same word in me as He is putting it into you. And in that process, you grow and I grow too. Why? Because this is a reality being laid by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. It is not a reality being laid in the intellect. Are you with me? So what does it say? Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10, the last part, second half of the verse. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the substance of your faith, the substance that describes your faith, also describes the knowledge of the Holy One. Can you catch that? And the knowledge of the Holy One is what comes alive in understanding. So, right? The knowledge of the Holy One, that substance that describes Jesus into you, right? That mysterious knowing of Him that enables you to understand all that God wants to bring forth in your life and the lives of others, in the body of Christ, right? To whoever you are called to minister to, that knowledge, that supernatural understanding that is potentially limitless, because there are no limits to its growth. And you see that? There are no limits to the knowledge and there is no limits to the understanding. It is not limited by your intellectual capacity as we are taught in our schools. Right? And through it comes forth a life and a lifestyle that is astonishing, because you grow as the Lord imparts that knowledge of Him into you. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. I am must become the substance. Are you with me? That does not make you God. But what it says is that the reality of I am is what that substance gives to you. Right? That substance that is of His person and of His nature. Right? It is brought alive in you and it is maintained in you by the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit, because only God can keep the truth. Because only God is the truth. So the Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. Can you catch it? We can't do our own thing. Right? Because we have already learned what happens when we do our own thing. We have spent a lifetime doing our own thing. And it's not a wonderful experience. It's been a painful, oftentimes pathetic experience. It has been filled with sorrow and pain. It has been filled with defeat and failure. But God wants His sons to rise like eagles, right? On the winds of the Spirit, right? Able to arise above every situation and circumstance and reign as kings, all right? Kings, because that is your destiny, right? Because the calling of David is upon your life, right? David was both king, prophet, and priest. And the sons of God are called to be kings, prophets, and priests. Right? So the reality of Jesus Christ in us is prophetically described as David. Right? Are you with me? David is the well-beloved. Right? So the life that we live, the stature of the life that we live, is described by the Jesus whom we love. Hello? Right? That comes out of substance. The substance of faith also communicates the love of Jesus for you. In His love for you, you come to love Him in return. And in that love that He has brought alive in you, you too learn how to love others in His love. And that is part of God's description of life. So life is described in faith. Life finds expression in love. And that love is described by the relationship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord and He is beloved. And the duality of Lord and beloved is described as husband. All right? We are His wife. The bride is the wife of the Lamb. And the wife has a Lord. Her husband is both Lord and He is also the beloved. And that reality is described prophetically as David. And David, right? We have two forms of David in us. The root of David, by how he is rooted in us. And we are built in the rooting of Jesus as our beloved. And we come forth as the offspring of David. Revelation 22, verse 16. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. So the reality of the bright morning star is a prophetic reality. And the reality of the bright morning star comes alive in us as a rooting in David. And it brings us forth as the offspring of David. Can you catch it? All right? Rooting of David. That means we are rooted according to that love of Jesus that comes alive in us. All right? So substance is of the nature and person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that nature is love. And love enables us to be rooted in Him. And love also brings us forth as His offspring. Are you with me? It is very important that we understand this reality of the love of Jesus. All right? Because it is the sons of David who will reign upon the throne. Let's turn to Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Verse 11, the Lord has sworn to David. Now David is dead and gone. David is just a human being. But David is being prophetically expressed here as an expression of who Jesus will actually become to us. The Lord has sworn to David, a truth from which he will not turn back. Of the fruit of your body I will set upon your throne. Of the fruit of your body, what is the fruit of the body of? The fruit of the body is the body of Christ. Are you with me? Are you with me? David's line ended a long time ago. All right, his physical line. But the line of David through the seed of Christ continues today. And we are the fruit of his body, the flesh of his flesh, and the bones of his bones. Are you with me? And God says, I have sworn a reality that I will fulfill. And that reality is a truth I will not turn back from. Of the fruit of your body, I will set upon your throne. Are you with me? So the Lamb is upon the throne, and the fruit of his body is you and me. Okay? If your sons will keep my covenant, where is the covenant? In the blood, right? We celebrate that covenant in Holy Communion. Right? Are you with me? How do we keep that covenant? When we remember him. Are you with me? You remember him in a lifestyle. Okay? If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony. What is the testimony that has been given to us? The testimony of Jesus. What is the testimony of Jesus? The spirit of prophecy, right? Revelation 19:10, right? The spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What is spirit representing there? The anointing that will enable everything to be fulfilled in us according to the Father's will. Are you with me? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a prophetic reality to be forever fulfilled into us so that we can function in it. Function in Christ by the Spirit of God all of the time. All right? So he says here, if your sons will keep my covenant, the covenant that is in the blood, and my testimony which I will teach them. All right? The testimony which I will teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. This is an eternal throne. Can you catch that? This is an eternal throne. So that is our destiny. In order to achieve that destiny, God has described to us a very simple law of life. It's a law of life that is full of his promises. Everything in the Word of God is described in Christ Jesus, explained to us in Christ Jesus, and made alive in us by the Holy Spirit. Everything in the Word of God. Amen? Okay? Everything in the Word of God is explained in Christ Jesus and brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit. And the reality is that we become sons of God in that law of the Spirit. It's like a law of life, all right? And it brings forth the fulfillment of the law and the prophets within us. We become an expression of the law and the prophets because Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. Why did he come? To fulfill the law and the prophets. Where is that expression of the law and the prophets going to be brought forth? In you and me. We are going to show the universe what it means to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the fulfillment of the law. Correct? And to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the reality of being one body. And we are also going to be an expression of the prophets. Right? We will walk in the fruits of everything that God has for us in Christ Jesus. So you see glimpses of that in all of the Old Testament. Joseph walked as a success story at the highest realms of rulership. Daniel walked with in authority and in power, in a wisdom that none of the people of the world could stand and compare with him. Elijah walked in a reality of God that was so awesome. Moses walked in a reality of God that was absolutely incredible. And all that is part of the prophets. Each one of these lives give you a glimpse of what the prophets mean. All right? And all of that is fulfilled in Christ Jesus and brought alive to us. Are you with me? Right? And when you see each life that God unveiled in the Old Testament, you begin to understand from Abraham, right? From Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. All right? And you see all of these great men of God, they were all giving glimpses of the fulfillment of the prophets that will come out of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the prophets. Are you with me? Now that is the meaning of it all. And where is the expression of the prophets going to come forth? In you and me. All right? Right? In combinations that are going to be mind-boggling. All right? All right? So you begin to understand that God, when he talks about sons of God, he's not kidding. All right? He's really talking about something awesome. When he talks about describing life, he's talking about giftings and anointings that are absolutely incredible. And he took all of these great men to show us what are the different facets. Right? Can you imagine if you walk in the Spirit like Ezekiel did? Wow, what a wonderful experience it would be. Right? Okay? So this is the fulfillment of the prophets. And when you realize that, you begin to see all things very differently. All right? You begin to see how rich are the riches in Christ Jesus. And this is what God calls riches. All right? And the riches are all described in Christ Jesus. They can only come forth from Him. As God unveils Jesus into your hearts, the reality of the fulfillment of the prophets will begin to come alive in your life. There are certain giftings that will start coming alive in you. There will be certain realities that will just come alive in your heart. And you'll know, this is what God wants to bring forth in my life. This is what God wants to do with me. This is what God wants to bring forth in me. This is how God means to create me in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? And each of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, Scripture says. Can you see it? God does not simply use words in Scripture. Everything is tied back and explained. It is explained in Jesus Christ. All right? It is explained in Jesus Christ. It is testified to through you and me. Hello? So that when we are unveiled as the sons of God, everybody knows that God has done an astonishing miracle. He took us out of the dust and He brought us forth as His sons. As He said to Father Abraham, your sons will shine as the stars in the heavens. All right? And that is God's grace. Right? That is the reality of God's grace. It is entirely by grace. And the stature to which we all grow is by grace. You must understand the grace of God. Because if you try and earn it, you will never receive what God has for you. Because it is all by grace. Amen? So the grace that God has given us describes the life that we will all live. And the stature of the life that we live is entirely described in Jesus Christ. Okay? And the stature that of the life that we will live is described as the righteousness of God. So that when people actually see us coming forth and expressing Jesus Christ, they will see the righteousness of God expressed through us in all that we do, in word and in deed. It will become our life's expression. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We might become the righteousness of God in Him. And that's what we need to understand. That the reality of righteousness is the righteousness of God. We are expected to bring forth the righteousness of God. And the moment you hear that, you must understand that only God can bring forth His righteousness. If you try and do it on your own, all our righteousnesses are filthy rags, right? Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6. All of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. What does that mean? Anything that stands in your name and my name is absolutely unacceptable. Anything, no matter how small or no matter how big it may be. Anything that stands in your name and my name is filthy rags, is unacceptable to God. Everything in us must be fashioned in Christ Jesus and be brought alive by the Holy Spirit. It must. For it to remain, it must. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Because if you try any other way, it's not going to work. If you want to grow, you have to eat me. I am the bread of life. If you want to see all things the right way, I must become the light. I am the light. If you're going to go into anything that is right and true and is going to remain, you must understand, I am the door. Because if I am not the door, you have got it all upside down. You're going the wrong way. And then he says, once you enter that door, you also need to understand that I must be the shepherd who leads you. I must be the shepherd who guides you. If I do not lead you, if you do not respond to my voice, you will not discover the awesome wonder of living by my resurrection power. I am the resurrection and the life. So that the life that you live will be full of my power, the power of my resurrection. You will live by me instead of living by yourself. And when you learn how to live by me, I will be the way, I will be the truth, and I will be the life. And you will be my branches, because I will be the true vine. And you will bear fruit in my greatness. That's what he's saying. So he says, I am the true vine, you are the branches. I have called you to bear fruit. And that fruit must be of his abundance. If it is yours and mine, it is worthless. So the whole process of life that we are learning or receiving is learning how to put on Christ and to express him by the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit? Because if we try and do it on our own, it will become our righteousness, and our righteousness is filthy rags. So taking Jesus and expressing him in our own intellects is unacceptable. Taking Jesus and expressing him in our own intellects and in our own intents and in our own purposes is unacceptable. You need the Holy Spirit to bring forth Christ Jesus in you. Then it is something that is of God. All right? Because only God can express God. And we are the vessels that are called forth to give expression to the name of God. And the name of God is a memorial name. And that memorial name is holy unto the Father. So the next reality of life is holiness, isn't it? Holiness. All right? Ultimately, we must understand the destiny that God has opened to us is so awesome that if we are not holy to God, we will all fall. So holiness is not a choice. It's not even an option. It is a reality. It's a necessity. Right? Because you cannot have what God is promising you and keep it if you're not holy to God. It cannot stand. Because it can only stand in holiness. And holiness delights in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Holiness is a witness inside of you, and the witness inside of you must delight in the fear of the Lord. What does the fear of the Lord mean? Okay, let's talk about that for a little while. All right? The fear of the Lord is described in terms of 7 words. And I would like to speak about that because it is so important that we fear the Lord. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, we have talked about those promises, and the promises are absolutely awesome. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. We often think that the only defilements that we have are only flesh, but they are also defilements of spirit. All right? Spirit, that means when you start using your spirit man for your own ends. Right? Okay? You can't use your spirit. Right? Once you learn how to pray in tongues, you already learn how to use your spirit man, right? And if you use your spirit man for your own ends, that's what this verse is talking about. All defilements of spirit, where you use spirit, your spirit man for your own ends, to get what you want. That's why the law of life is defined in Christ Jesus and brought alive by the Holy Spirit. Everything must glorify God. How do we know we are walking in God? Very simple. At the end of whatever you have done, look at what has been done. Where is Jesus' name in it all? What is it standing by? Is it something that you have done in your own strength? Or is it something that testifies of how great God has been in your life? That's how you tell truth. Anything that stands in your name is unacceptable. Everything that stands in Jesus' name is truth. Everything inside of you that declares, Lord, I worship you, is truth. Everything that declares what a great man of God I am is falsehood. All right? That's the defilement of the spirit, when you start thinking that you are better than everybody else. All right? Therefore, having these promises. Why is it important to understand that? Because it's all by grace. Whether you are Elijah and Paul and Peter rolled up into one, It is entirely by grace, 100% grace. So don't turn around and look at the other fellow and say, look how much better I am than you. Falsehood. That's why we have to walk in Christ Jesus, so that you know that everything being brought in your life is of Christ Jesus. Then you will never boast except in the Lord. That's why we must learn to boast in the Lord. We must learn to glorify Him. It does not come to us naturally. All right? We must learn to boast of the Lord. We must always worship the Lord. And we must always check ourselves to make sure that the witness inside of us is worshiping the Lord and not declaring how great and wonderful we are. It's a very basic lesson that we must learn. It does not come easy. It is a battle, because there are many parts of you that will deny it. All right? Many parts of you and me that will deny it. And that's the battle that you have to overcome. And the only way you can overcome it is by lifting up the name of Jesus. And if you don't lift up the name of Jesus, you're not going to overcome your fleshly ways. Fleshly ways are not overcome by religious practices. Fleshly ways are overcome by the excellence of Jesus Christ alive in your heart, where you actually admire Him, where you actually know that He is everything to you. Amen? That is part of life. That is part of life. And that expression is righteousness. That expression is righteousness. What is righteousness? The righteousness of God that has come alive in you, and you can see its products in your life. You can see what God has done with you. And you know that whatever you are, it has been because it is God's handiwork. God's handiwork is His righteousness. So what did we read in Ephesians 2:10? That we are being created in Christ Jesus for good works. If you are being created in Christ Jesus, what is that reality? It is the righteousness of God coming forth in your life and my life creatively. And what is it being manifested in? In the good works that we are able to perform, walk into and perform and bring forth. And what is that testimony? It is a testimony of the greatness of God, His righteousness. What a great thing He has done with you and me. Took us out of a sewer and made us walk in righteousness. Isn't that an awesome miracle? Awesome. The more I think of it, the more I see it coming forth. How awesome is the reality of God's grace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Holiness. We need to walk in holiness. Let's go back to this verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved is a reality within us, okay? The reality that unites us as one body. So when the great apostle writes, beloved, he is not simply writing that word to sound poetic or to sound kind or to sound good. He is declaring a prophetic reality where we are one body. Where the reality of Jesus unites us in one flesh. Amen? Okay? Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord brings forth holiness. Alright? So what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is expressed to us as an anointing that Jesus consecrated in the temple of His body. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 3. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. So that is the testimony of holiness, that you will delight in the fear of the Lord. Okay? It's quite a different picture from a religious picture. All right? You take delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. In this very simple verse, God expresses to us what the fear of the Lord brings forth in our lives. It brings forth in our lives the desire to walk in all his ways. A desire to walk in all of his ways. That desire is the desire of obedience, all right? So the first reality of the fear of the Lord is obedience. You want to obey God. Again, you can't cook this up. It is something that you have to receive from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the one who was obedient. And as Jesus comes alive in us, we will learn to be obedient. But you must choose to be obedient in the strength of the Lord. Okay? Obedience is a hallmark of holiness, all right? Hallmark of the fear of the Lord that presents us as a holy people. Second one, to love him, all right? Love is the basic necessity to holiness. If you don't love God, you don't belong to him. Because love establishes us in belonging. All right? Love establishes us in belonging, right? Because when you love someone, you belong to that person and that person belongs to you. The basic idea of belonging is the basic idea that makes us holy. If you don't belong, you cannot be holy to someone. All right? So love is another facet of the fear of the Lord. So two things already: obedience, love. What's the third one? To serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, serving the Lord. The heart of the servant is the heart that will fear God. All right? So holiness is not just a religious attitude. It is an attitude that serves God, serves his purposes. All right? You are obedient, you love God, and now you are prepared to serve him. You walk into his works, and as you walk into his works, you are serving him. You're not doing it for your own ends. That's why he says to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Elsewhere we are told that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. But the proof that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul is when we serve the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul. Okay? Let's look again at verse 20 in that same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. Very interesting. All right? We are told in the New Testament that you shall not swear by the name of, you shall not swear by anything. But here in the Old Testament, the word is always said that you shall swear by the Lord your God, or swear by his name. What does that name, what does it mean? But before we talk about that, you shall fear the Lord your God and cling to him. Okay? So the next idea of holiness is that you cling to God. How do you cling to God? With your heart. All right? You cling to him. All right? You wrap your arms around him. All right? You cling to him. You wrap your arms around his heart. You cling to him. Okay? Amen? That's why God presented himself on a cross to us, so that we will come alive to the fact that we can cling to this Lord. All right? If we had gone to heaven straight and seen him in all of his majesty, we only would have been cowering before him. The idea of clinging to him would never have come alive to us. But because we have seen him and come to know him from out of a tree, from out of a cross, the reality is very different. The reality is very different. This is a God whom we can call our Father, and we can cling to him because he presented himself through his word on a tree. And in that tree, we understood that we could cling to him because he came to save us. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So cling to the Lord your God. Use that heart. The more you learn how to use that heart in Christ by the Holy Spirit, the more will you come alive to God your Father. Okay? All right? And this is not a religious thought. It is a real thing in your heart. You either have it or you don't have it. You either go after it or you don't get it. Right? You have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. Okay? How do you ask? With your heart. How do you seek? With your heart. How do you knock? With your heart. Persistently. By faith. Okay? Swear by his name, we shall keep it for the to bring forth what that means. Let's turn first to Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Holiness involves, the fear of the Lord involves trust. Trust in the understanding that He is your shield and He is your help, an ever-present help. Trust. So why does God push us off a ledge? So that we can learn to trust Him. So that we can learn to trust Him. And then He comes and He picks us up and He lifts us again and then He drops us again. Why? So that when the dropping comes, you will learn to trust Him. In that trust is the strength that He will give you. Amen? Because if you're going to be holy unto Him, to stand before Him in the true fear of the Lord, you need to trust Him. You who fear the Lord, trust in Him. All right? So trust is another facet of the fear of the Lord. We are called forth to trust God. Because all men must learn to live by God. And you cannot live by God unless you trust Him. Remember, we are talking about the law of life. And we are saying that the law of life comes out of the fear of the Lord, right? In holiness unto God. Okay? Catch it? All right. One more verse. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Familiar passage. It says, where is this house that you can build for me? All right, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? You could build for me means where you express what you can do. God wants to build a house where He has expressed what He has done. So if you look at yourself, God wants to bring you forth as a house of Christ. Remember that verse in Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6. We are the house of Christ. That's the house that God has built by His own hand. And in that house, He will put His name, He will put His heart, He will put His eyes. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Verse 16. He will put His name, He will put His heart, He will put His eyes. That's the house. And He describes that, but to this one I will look. Verse 2. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. Now to swear by the name of God, you first need to tremble at His word. Now you can't cook that up either. You need to understand where the Word of God goes. You need to come alive to a reality of the Word where you actually tremble at the Word. When you tremble at the Word, you are able to see God through His Word. That trembling is a trembling of awe, all right? In that awe, you then live by the Lord. When you live by the name of God, you are swearing by His name. It's a conviction in your heart. It is a conviction in your heart where you are prepared to live by the Lord your God. You are prepared to do all things by the Lord your God. It is something God has brought into you. In the New Testament, it is described as the word of the oath. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. Notice how it is phrased. The word of the oath finds its appointment in the son who has been made perfect. So the word of the oath comes alive to you as Jesus comes alive to you. So God defines his name into you as an oath by which you are prepared to live through Jesus coming alive in you. Now this reality of Jesus must be brought alive by the Holy Spirit so that you see how awesome he is and you tremble at the word because you see how great God is. When your inward eyes are open to the excellencies of God, and you actually tremble in awe, and you make a covenant with God, Lord, I will live by you. That is the oath that you swear in God. All right? Now, what kind of an oath is this? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That is the oath. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And if you go to the New Testament, you will find it is also defined as with all your mind and with all your strength, right? And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. Now that's the heart of flesh that God is creating within us, all right? Can you catch that? And in that heart of flesh, because it is the flesh of Jesus, the Lamb, it describes into you and me a reality that Jesus perfected in his own heart. Are you with me? Because only Jesus loved the Father with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and with all of his strength. In that reality, the bread of life is defined. And that bread of life becomes the flesh of our flesh. And we in turn come to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And God then describes what are the realities that will come forth once you start walking in that. Okay? And then in verse 13 he says, you shall fear only the Lord your God and you shall worship him. So worshiping God is part of the fear of the Lord. And swear by his name. Are you with me? How is that swearing done? In the love that you have for God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's why Jesus forbid swearing outwardly. Because the oath is sworn inwardly. You are a temple of God. And the temple of God swears its life by an oath that declares that my God is my life. I love him with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. Amen? And I trust him, I am holy to him, I live by him, I obey him, I serve him with all of my heart and with all of my soul. Are you with me? Can you catch that? In that reality, you are established as a temple. Okay? You are established as a temple. What sort of a temple is this? Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel 40 to 48 is a vision that the prophet Ezekiel sees of the Messiah. And all that the Messiah will establish. And from chapter 40 to 48, the works or the achievements that the Messiah will bring forth are all described in symbolic form. Now, part of the symbolism points to a mountain. And we are referring to that mountain here. Okay? Let's just, for context, read from verse 1. Then he led me to the gate facing toward the east. Jesus will also return from the east. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel was coming from the way of the east. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Whose name is that? That is Jesus Christ, right? When Jesus, the Lamb, stood in the midst of the seven lampstands in the vision to John, his voice was like the sound of many waters. Okay? That's Rhema, okay? And the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when he came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Cheba, and I fell on my face. The same way that John fell on his face, right? And when I saw him, I fell on my face, right? I fell down as a dead man. What is the prophetic meaning? Very simple. As you see him, you will die to self. Okay. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate facing toward the east. He's talking about a house, and this house happens to be on a mountain. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Then I heard one speaking to me from the house while a man was standing beside me, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne. The person who was speaking to him was Jesus himself. Are you with me? Okay, so you will notice all the capitalizations in your Bible. The person who is speaking is he in capitals, right? Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. Where is that house? Revelation 21, correct? Okay, and the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name. Okay? Verse 12, this is the law of the house. Its entire area on top of the mountain, all around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. Are you with me? Holiness is the law of the house. You are a house, and this house is situated on a mountain. The mountain is called Jehovah Jireh. Are you with me? On the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Catch it? What will be provided? And living abode, where the temple of your being abides in the house of the Lord, in the sanctuary of his presence. We celebrate that in Holy Communion. Remember the Passover? Let's go back to Genesis 22, verse 14. Understand that this house that we are talking about is on a mountain, all right? The mountain is the mountain of God's provision by his own name. The mountain is described as Jehovah Jireh, all right? Genesis chapter 22, you can't write a check to Jehovah Jireh. Very important to understand that. Okay, verse 13 and verse 14. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. In the mount of the Lord it will be provided. What is this mount? The reality of the name. And the reality of that name is to describe our sanctuary, right? Remember, Chronicles says, this is the house in which I will put my name, I will put my heart, I will put my eyes, correct? Okay? We are a living temple. Hello? Yeah? Okay? And this house is on a mountain. And this mountain is alive in the name of God. In this mountain, God provides you according to his name. This mountain is limitless. Okay? Turn with me to Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. David says, Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? The Hebrew word for hill and the Hebrew word for mount are the same Hebrew word, okay? So who may ascend into the mount of the Lord or the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. A pure heart. All right? A pure heart. How do you stand in this hill? With your heart. How? By hope, fashioned in faith, established in the righteousness of God, alive in the love of Jesus Christ, in holiness unto God. That's a pure heart. Right? Catch it? He who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. He who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Can you catch it? That's why the substance of hope is faith. And that's why that hope must be in him, so that the substance is pure and undefiled. When we exercise faith in our own will and our own purpose, that is righteousness, that is of ourself, and it is filthiness. But when the substance is of his person and his nature, it is pure, it is undefiled. How do you have a pure heart? In Jesus' name, very simple. Whatever you set on Jesus sincerely and truthfully purifies you. It's not hard. Right? And wherever you fail, you have the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and to sanctify you. All right? So David, the great psalmist, prophetically writes about what Jesus will bring into our hearts, a reality by which we can ascend into the hill of the Lord. Okay? How? By your heart. Okay? Hello? How great you see Jesus. That's your mountain. And the higher he becomes, the higher is the mountain that you have reached. Very simple. So Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, it will be done for you. Anything. Why? Because it is of my name. It is of my stature. It will have to be done. Nobody can stop it because it is of God. Psalm 15, verse 1 and verse 2. O Lord, who may abide in thy tent? Who may dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Now we have a reality where we actually abide on the hill of the Lord. That's what Ezekiel saw in the vision. What did the Lord Jesus tell him? This is my place. Here I will make my throne. Right? On this mountain I will make my throne. This is the place of my dwelling, and on the top of the mountain it is called Most Holy. Now you can abide in there at the speed of thought. Hello? That's why in Holy Communion Jesus says, remember me, because that is the whole reality of God's promises. You remember him, you are purified according to the Lord whom you remember. All right? The more beautiful you see him, the more real you see him, the more will you be changed. It's all at the speed of thought, brethren. All right? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Hope. Hope becomes substance. When hope becomes substance of faith, you are behind the veil. As long as you remember him. As long as you remember him. What's so hard about that? All of us can hope. Are you with me? Faith is a substance of hope, the evidence of him. Amen? And that evidence of him is pure. A pure heart. In that pure heart you rise into the mount of the Lord, according to the stature of the Lord whom you have come to see. It is by revelation. Amen? Right? Simple. It's not hard to be a great Christian. All you need is Jesus Christ. Everything has been given to you. In him you are made complete. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And don't ever forget this, all right? Don't ever think you are not good enough. Colossians 2:10 says, in him you have been made complete. Complete, 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 complete. Isn't that the good news? And because we have been made complete, we celebrate Holy Communion, right? In the delight, in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because we've got plenty to be delightful about. And in him you have been made complete. Amen. Verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Without hands. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We will go into that one day. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, we are celebrating the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus describes a Passover. Amen? A Passover described in Jesus Christ and made alive in you by the Holy Spirit. And this Passover is into the Mount of the Lord. And the Mount of the Lord is a reality defined in faith. Okay? Defined in the righteousness of God. It is defined in his love. And it is expressed in holiness unto him. And you function in that reality. Your ministry, whatever. Your whole lifestyle comes out of it. Everything that you do in word and in deed is in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Everything that we do in word and in deed is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the celebration of Holy Communion in your life every day. So we are celebrating that actuality that is prophetically to be fulfilled in each and every one of us as we celebrate Holy Communion. All right? Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 16. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Luke 17:21 says that the Luke 17 verse 21 in the King James Version and the New King James Version says that the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? Within you. Alright? So this Passover is to be fulfilled within you. It is a Passover into the Mount of the Lord. And this Passover is attained in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. Right? The feast of unleavened bread is described to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, as Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. So clean out the leaven of malice and wickedness and bring forth the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So sincerity and truth in your heart is a Passover into the Mount of the Lord. Okay? In the realities of faith, righteousness, love, and holiness. Okay? That is life. The life that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. The true life that enables you to continuously grow. Continuously grow and to be blessed and to be blessed and to be blessed. So that you in turn can be a blessing in everything that you do. And we are celebrating that fulfillment in the celebration of this Holy Communion. Okay? I will not eat of this Passover until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What did Jesus mean by that? When the Passover is fulfilled, Jesus comes alive in you. And Jesus alive in you enables you to function in his kingdom. When Jesus died, before he went to the cross, he prayed this prayer. I have made thy name known to them and will make it known, that they may be one. Even as we are one, and I in them. Something like that. All right? Let's turn to that. John 17, verse 26. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. Are you with me? When Jesus actually comes alive in you, okay? When Jesus comes alive in you, he will partake of this Passover with you. You will live by his name, and you will walk by his name, and you will do all things in his name. And that's the Passover that Jesus wants to eat with you in a lifestyle realized through him. And that lifestyle will be proclaimed in the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And through it, you will be able to do all things in Jesus' name. Okay? You know what that means? That's when you can swear by the name of God. All right? Okay? That's when you can swear by the name of God. Okay, verse 19 and verse 20. Luke 22, verse 19 and 20. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Amen. In Christ Jesus, we have been given a treasure. Jesus describes that treasure as my body. I have given this treasure to you that you may realize it and give expression to it. Because this is the treasure that will fill all in all. And you are called to express this treasure of my fullness. In order to express the treasure of his fullness, he also tells us to drink of the cup, the drink offering that he poured out for us, the witness in his blood, in which is written the entire new covenant. The witness in his blood is his love for us. Amen? His love for us. And in that love is the entire new covenant for us to realize and to express. Shall we pray? Father, we want to bless you and thank you for all that you have given us in the celebration of this Holy Communion, Father. We are thankful for all that you have given us. We are thankful for the awesome wonder of all that you have brought forth, O God. In Jesus' name, we bless you that of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Father, it is that reality that we have come to celebrate. To see Jesus come more and more alive in us as a body. In this reality, Father, we see the entire church being brought forth, O God, as a bride for the Lamb. And we celebrate, O God, this unveiling in the power of his resurrection. We ask you, Father, to sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake, we will partake of him in his flesh and in his blood, that we will realize of his fullness, the awesome wonder of being created in Him, Father, and being brought forth in His fullness. Father, that this is a functional reality, O God, that You have defined as the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. As we learn how to walk into this reality in the Word that You reveal to us in Christ Jesus and bring alive to us by the Holy Spirit, Father, we bless You for all of the treasures of Jesus Christ that You mean to unveil in us, Father. We are thankful that in Him we are made complete, that there is an awesome destiny that You have defined for us in Christ Jesus, and You mean for us each to realize the awesome wonder of Him that will find expression in each and every one of us. Father, we see this glorious and awesome unveiling in a living body that will express the fullness of Him who will fill all in all. We bless You for this reality that will be fulfilled in the merits of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, Amen. Father, You sent forth Your Son as the living bread that came down out of heaven. In this living bread, O God, You unveil the hidden manner of Your name. And Jesus came forth, O God, to reveal Your awesome wonder to us, Father. As we celebrate, O God, the bread of life, Father, we celebrate the reality by which we receive of His fullness, Father, knowing that in His fullness we are in fact created, Father, knowing that in His fullness we find the expression of true life, Father. We know that all of this, Father, is to be brought alive in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As we celebrate this fulfillment, not just in ourselves, but in the entire bride of Christ, Father, we bless You and thank You, Father, for the awesome purpose that You have in Your heart. We bless You and we thank You with gratitude in our hearts, knowing, Father, that Your will be done. We bless You for the kind intentions of Your will. In Jesus' name, Amen. Father, the blood of Jesus is life to us, and You have given us the blood upon the altars of our heart, so that we may discover the secrets of the new covenant in the blood, Father. Enable us, O God, to understand that the secrets come alive in us in an intimacy that can only be brought alive to us by the Holy Spirit. We pray that by Your Spirit, Father, we will come alive to Your Son, that we may know Him, that we may love Him, that this knowing and this love will be clearly written in us through Your Word, explained into us by the testimony of Jesus, so that we can express Him before You, so that You will be glorified, Father, in all that You see come forth from each one of us, that You will take pleasure in each one of our lives. Father, we celebrate that awesome reality coming forth to bless You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank You for all that You have revealed to us in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Father, now we pray that each one of us will learn how to live and walk into this law in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that each one of us will be an expression alive in Christ by the Spirit in all that we do in word and in deed. We ask You to teach us, Father. We ask You to reveal Your Son, and we ask You, O God, to teach us how to respond to the Holy Spirit, so that all things in our lives will come forth as a testimony in Jesus' name. We bless You and thank You for all that You will accomplish, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.